Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good rainy Wednesday to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnie, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day here on Hump Day. Darren McFarland, that's me, here in Rutherford County in Smyrna, where we've been the last 2.5 months. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. I don't want to say holding fort because he took exception to that yesterday, but we did kind of come to the conclusion that maybe Stanley is guarding the fortress, the Donick fortress. Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, and Marquise Munson at the Whale at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, we have a plan in place, as Commissioner Gary Bettman unveiled that yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon. And the announcement for a return to play for 2019, the 2020 season. What do you guys think?
Well, I think we knew most of what was coming out there yesterday. It's just nice to see it all official, everybody on the same page, actually announcing something, not having it leak out, which it already had. But now they put it out there, and now the goal is to get there, right? That's the top of the mountain, and they're still going step by step. There's still some things that have to be done before it's a go, right? They admit that, you know, we're not committing to play. This is all if. Like, for example, the training camp can't start before July 1st. So they're giving themselves until July 1st even to start training camp at the earliest. So Chase's timetable that we talked yesterday is actually closer to what it could be. They're not going to start until fairly late July, if then. So they're giving themselves really till August to get started. So we're still going to be waiting a while, but it's nice to have the target to shoot for.
I just, if they actually play on August 1st, I would just like hey, good guess. That was good. Because it's a guess. I'll admit that. But it's nice to actually see a clearer picture and know that they have a plan in place and they're putting health top of mind. We're not seeing, you know, and I know Greg Wyshynski was on with us about 30 minutes ago and said that, you know, the players are letting everybody know that there's still some things to be worked out. They have a Q&A with Don Fear that they put up on ESPN.com that, you know, there's still some things to be worked out, but they're not groveling over money and all of that stuff in the public. These are all things that can be worked out behind the scenes. And it's just nice to know that there is a plan in place that looks good. It feels good. And it's going to be different. It's going to be exciting. You know, I think these playoffs are going to be a lot of fun with the qualifying round and the round robin. And I know Elliot put out there that the teams that are in the qualifying round will have a couple of exhibition games to get warmed up. So I think is it perfect? Is it ever going to be perfect? No, but I think it's the best thing that we can hope for in getting hockey back.
Did Elliot's beard tell him that, or where did he get that info?
I don't know.
That was quite the sight, wasn't it?
He has got quite the glorious beard going. Wow,
two colors too. I think that's our lead on
Impressive.
Thursday or tomorrow. When he's on with us at 1 o'clock tomorrow, that's our lead. I mean, it's not the return to play. It's Elliot's beard.
Yeah,
that's legit.
I get it. Wow. We poked fun at your beard. Holy moly.
Yeah, you got me beat. I feel bad. Now I'm ashamed that I shaved mine.
Yeah. Like, what were you doing? Look at his. Holy cow. So do we think, and by the way, I understand all that is true to form, and the players, yes, they's not officially signed off on everything. It's not like it's official. They're 100% back. But let's be honest. You're not coming out with that announcement yesterday. You're not unveiling that to the world and knowing that there's real snags behind the scenes. I mean, come on. I mean, they'll get it worked out. I mean, they may have to do, you know, there may have to be some more compromises or some twists and turns behind the scenes, but they're getting this worked out. You don't unveil this unless you feel really good this sucker's coming back. You don't see Major League Baseball unveiling anything right now, do you? Other than salaries.
Right. No, I agree.
You don't see their plan.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, the NBA
hasn't done anything.
Stuff.
Yeah, NBA hasn't put out anything.
There's a lot of speculation, but there really doesn't seem to be a consensus on what the right thing is. In fact, I don't know if you guys caught a section of Get Up today was Damian Lillard, whose team is on the bubble, the Portland Trail Blazers. You know, they were pretty good last year. They're not a shoe-in for the playoffs this year, and he's basically saying if we don't have a chance to play for the championship, then we shouldn't come back, is what he was saying, which is the argument why if you put the Blackhawks and the Canadiens in, you had to give them a chance to win, right? Even though a lot of people think that's the biggest flaw in this 24-team format is, you know, they really didn't deserve a chance to play for a championship.
Yeah, no, I was actually.
So that's the dilemma.
I was actually watching Golic and Wingo because they had Gary Bettman on, and it's the first time they've talked hockey in I think 3 years. So I was actually watching.
Were they familiar
their
with
program
the sport
and listening to them? Well, no, they had the commissioner on.
They'd never make it in this market.
They had Gary Bettman on, and you know, Gary has done a lot of work. I get it. He's probably got mush brain right now, but he did say 1920, I think, three times. So. I don't think it's 1920. I hope not. I've got two episodes left of Peaky Blinders, and so I've been kind of living in 1920s, so I get that. But I don't think literally we're in the 1920s. So, like I said, he may have mush brain from all the interviews and all the stuff they've had to do behind the scenes, which I am certainly not envious of because it is a tall task for sure. But
kudos to him for doing it, though.
Huh?
I mean, it, kudos to him for doing it.
Absolutely. Like I said, I wasn't watching Get Up because I'm really – it's like they're still talking about The Last Dance. And they've got Matt Barnes talking about how he doesn't want his NBA ring with Golden State because he really doesn't feel like he's a part of it. That really doesn't interest me. So no. I moved on. Wasteful television, but that's just my opinion.
For everyone that boos Gary Bettman and hates on Gary Bettman, he is the most accessible commissioner of any of them.
I mean, Chase, I say that I kid. That's literally me just poking fun.
Oh, I know.
That I didn't like.
No,
I said,
I know. I know where you.
We all make mistakes. Right? We talk 4 hours a day and we say things. Our brain gets wires get crossed. I'm just literally having fun with it.
No,
but he
I know
did
you
say
are. I'm not.
1920
that wasn't directed
three times.
That wasn't directed at you by any means. That because you we've had this conversation. The three of us are on the same page of, you know, people boo him and hate on him and is he perfect? No, but. How many times have you heard Roger Goodell on our show? How many times have you heard Adam Silver?
I can answer those quickly.
Yeah, never.
And it's not because we've never asked. Let me just say that.
I mean, we have definitely asked. Now, Gary Bettman is very accessible. I mean, that liner you hear of him saying, this is Commissioner Gary Bettman, you're listening to Nashville's Best Sports Talk, he said into my recorder and then made a joke about how you like that, one take. I mean, that's the type of person he is and commissioner he is. He's accessible. So
we've had NFL in this market for 22 years, and I've yet to hear Roger Goodell on anything Nashville related.
Did Tagliabue ever do anything with you guys?
No. I know because I asked many times. It was basically laughed at.
Right.
Nope.
David Stern?
Nope. I don't say much to the sports that aren't here, but when you've got professional sports – you know, you've got a team in that market. Like, you would think you would be laughed at by the league, but, you know, the NFL has laughed for 22 years about getting their commissioner on. So,
and Don Garber, the MLS commissioner, he's done stuff too. And, I mean, this is a brand-new MLS market. So,
did you see the Real Sports? I think that was the unveiling of the new one last. It was really interesting with the PA, the heads of the PA. Unfortunately, they didn't have Fear on there, but they had – Tony Clark for baseball, DeMore Smith for the NFL, and I'm drawing blanks on the very, very smart lady for the NBA. I was really impressed with
Michelle
her.
Roberts.
What's her name?
Michelle Roberts.
Michelle Roberts. Really impressed with her, by the way. I'm sorry I didn't remember her name, but just kind of talking about all this. They obviously represent the players through all this, but it was very interesting. It was lightning. And Brian Gumbel did the interview through – via Zoom, but it was interesting. If you haven't seen the new Real Sports or Inside Real Sports,
yeah, Real Sports,
yeah, on HBO, check it out. It's pretty interesting.
I will for sure because I missed that last night. But I was admittedly I was watching racing, which should surprise nobody. But yeah, I will go and check that out.
Is it raining in Charlotte like it is here?
I haven't. I was actually just about to go look because I hope not. Because I am in. I mean, I was already going to be in, but you know, I don't watch the Xfinity and the truck races as religiously as I do the Cup races, and I have since they came back. And last night was a great race at Charlotte in the truck race. Chase Elliott beats Kyle Busch. And I don't know if you guys knew about this, but Kevin Harvick actually put a bounty out for the truck series that any Cup regular that entered the race and beat Kyle Busch, he would give $50,000 to a charity of their choosing, and ended up for now it's for COVID-19, and that offer's since been matched. And Chase Elliott, ironically, after everything that happened last week, enters the truck race and beat Kyle Busch.
Wow. Well done. Awesome. Well done, Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, it was cool.
And he didn't wreck Kyle Busch to win it?
He did not, but Kyle was, in typical Kyle Busch fashion, he is not a good loser. He finished his second, was mad at his team because there was a broken part or something on, and he goes, it's amazing to me that, you know, we've been off for 3 months and we can't, you know, we have a broken part on, so there's going to be a conversation when I get back home. So he was not happy.
Oh, boy. All right, we are going to do an even deeper dive into the news, the announcement yesterday afternoon about the return-to-play plan for the NHL. We'll bring in Adam Vinken from The Athletic. We'll do that on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Gary Bettman yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon unveiled the NHL's 24-team return-to-play plan that was unveiled. Also got into the draft. Boy, that got a little bit complicated. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this rainy Wednesday here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, we now say hello and good morning to Adam Vinken from The Athletic. Adam, what did you think of what was laid out yesterday?
I really wasn't surprised by anything that we saw, just because we've been talking about it for the last several weeks. There have been multiple reports about a 24-team format and how it could look and how it would be ordered by point percentage. So really what we saw yesterday from Gary Bettman was confirmation on a lot of the reporting that has been done around the possible restart of the season. So I can't say I was incredibly shocked by anything. The one thing that did stick out to me, though, you know, Gary Bettman said pretty close to the beginning of his statement that the regular season is over. I thought maybe we might see some exhibition games. I think Elliot Freeman might have reported last night on Twitter that teams might get one or two exhibition games, but the idea of teams going from, you know, a 3-4 week training camp right into playing playoff games without actually playing any games before that seems like a recipe for disaster. So I think it would be beneficial for the teams involved if there were some sort of exhibition games, one or two, before the actual playoff start. But other than that, everything else was pretty much on point from what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks.
I have my thoughts, but I want to hear yours first. Why do you think Nashville was not on the 10 hub city list, considering the NHL never leaves Nashville off anything? They love Nashville. Why don't you think we made the list?
That's a good question, and that's certainly a question we could ask of David Poyle. He'll be addressing the media here in a few hours. You know, certainly it's not an issue of hotel space because Nashville, as we know, has plenty of hotel space. I wonder if it might have to do with the number of rinks available, but then you look at some of the other cities that were included on the list and you think to yourself, does Los Angeles, for example, have more rinks than Nashville? Perhaps just because Los Angeles is a greater sized area. I wonder if it also has to do with how the region is doing in response to the coronavirus pandemic. I certainly think Nashville could have had some consideration, but when you look at some of the other cities on that list, they're much bigger than Nashville. You know, you think of Chicago, for example, Toronto, Vancouver, of course, no shortage of rink space there. Las Vegas, of course, plenty of hotel space. I'm curious to hear your theory, Darren, as to why you think they were left off.
Well, I think that, one, as you're seeing Nashville open up, and remember this time frame, Nashville, downtown Nashville in particular, will look completely different than what it even looks like today as Davidson County has moved into phase two. So when we're talking about this particular time frame, you know, we're already seeing, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen the viral video out there of the pool party in the Ozarks this weekend. You know, not a good look. Yeah.
How could you not see that?
Yeah. Not a good look.
I can't unsee that.
Yeah, I agree. Well said.
The best part about that, the governor, I believe, saying that everybody in that pool had to undergo a 14-day self-quarantine period, I can guarantee you that zero of the people in that pool will undergo a 14-day
If that is their mentality with that scene, you think those people are going to go quarantine themselves? No.
No.
I think Nashville, and I'm happy about this. I want everybody to do the right thing and let's have better looks than what we're talking about right there in the Ozarks this weekend. But Nashville's going to return to form, Adam, and there's going to be a lot of tourists come to Nashville. People are going to be looking to get out. They've been inside for a long time, and they're going to come to Nashville. And places are going to fill up again, and more importantly, hotels are going to fill up again. And what you're asking the nice hotels downtown that these teams would be interested in reserving, and right, they would have to basically shut down for them. It, you know, the Omni and JW and the Westin and all the nice hotels we've got now in downtown Nashville, they probably could make, this is a theory of mine, they could probably make more money just being open regularly. They've taken a huge hit, let's be honest. The hotel industry has taken a massive, massive hit through this pandemic. They could probably make more money and have more occupancy by just being open and just basically housing tourists that are going to come back to our city and events that are going to happen rather than shut down for 3 months and house or 2 months, whatever the time frame is, shut down for a long period of time and house NHL teams. Just a theory.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And that's why I think that Las Vegas has been a favorite in these discussions, according to reports, because you can put them up in one hotel. You can put the entire hub in one hotel if you want to. I mean, how big are the hotels in Las Vegas? Thousands
Massive.
Upon thousands of
yeah.
rooms in mm-hmm. one hotel, so that, you know, you're not preventing, you're not taking up multiple hotels probably as you would here in Nashville.
And they have multiple wings too. Right, you can put them in different wings. I mean, yeah, those hotels are massive.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I believe it's the Park MGM Hotel is directly across the street from T-Mobile Arena. I mean, that probably has multiple thousand hotel rooms. You could probably just house the entire, the entire operation there. Over to New York, if you really want to, which is across the street. But I think that's a good point, Darren. I would agree with that.
It was just a little perplexing to your point. Like, L.A. really stood out to me. I was like, L.A. is on this list? Chicago and L.A. were probably two that really jumped out at me. And I'm like, really? Like, they're on the list, but not Nashville. But let me go. So then let me ask you about the Canadian cities. So there's three Canadian cities in Toronto, Vancouver, in Edmonton. So right now, I believe Canada, and certainly this is a question we can throw to Elliot tomorrow at 1 o'clock, but you may know this for certain. Aren't they under, if you come outside into the country, you must quarantine for 2 weeks? And so if that is the case and that's still in place by then, you're then asking all these teams to come 2 weeks early, and I think that's a bit of a stretch, don't you think?
I think so, and you're right. I mean, I think that was a conversation that was being had with Bill Daly and Gary Bettman yesterday after the formal announcement that I believe Canada does require, regardless of where you're coming from, a 14-day self-quarantine period if you are entering the country. And I believe Bill Daly said that if they are not able to find a workaround from that policy, that Canada might be disqualified from being a hub city. Now, it helps, you know, it would help to have Canada be a hub city, you know, one of those three cities be a hub city for a number of reasons. One, it's going to be cheaper to stage the games there just because of the value of the Canadian dollar versus the American dollar. And two, of course, it's Canada, so there's plenty of rink space. That is something that they're going to have to tangle with. And last week when the NHL put out that memo talking about phase two, returning to practice rinks and holding voluntary workouts in small groups, if I remember correctly, you know, if a player returns from via commercial airline, I think they have to quarantine, I guess, depending on each state. But I think if players were to charter a private jet, they may be able to circumvent that. I cannot confirm that to be true. I think that's what I read. Reading comprehension, never my strong suit. But to your point, Canada's law requiring self-quarantine could be a huge snag, and Vancouver, Toronto, or Edmonton being one of the hubs.
Talking to Adam Vingan, covering the Predators and the NHL for The Athletic. So, Adam, let's take some of the logistics that still have to be worked out aside for a moment and look at the competitive side. You wrote on this in your article, but first, how do you fall in the opinion of, was it right to add the Blackhawks and the Canadians, expand to 24, in other words, to get those markets involved? And did they deserve to play a 3 out of 5? Because one of the biggest criticisms of the format, and I think rightfully so, and there's a lot of people from The Athletic that have weighed in on this, that it's one thing to let those teams in, but to give them a chance to win a 3 out of 5 where it's really a crapshoot, that may not give enough credence to what happened in the regular season. Not enough credit for the teams that built an edge.
You know, it's funny. I think of you think of college basketball tournaments these days. Think of the SEC tournament. What's the first day of the SEC tournament? A Wednesday, right? Like Wednesday, they play. You know, they have the worst teams play, and then they advance to play
the first four
teams. Yeah. So perhaps they should have done something like that for the teams that are, you know, 9, 10, 11, and 12. You know, maybe that's one thing they could have done. I have always been of the mind that they should have done 20 teams instead of 24 and have 7 play 10 and 8 play 9 in sort of MLB wild card play-in game / series, whether it's just one game or 3 games or what have you. You know, in that scenario, the Predators would have advanced to the first round as the 6th seed in the Western Conference based on points percentage. I always thought that the fewer teams, the better, but understandably from the NHL standpoint, you know, they're not going to be fans in the building and they're going to need ratings. So if you put Montreal in the tournament and you put Chicago in the tournament, you're going to get ratings.
You know, well, who you eliminated though? Like those are the two easy ones that we can. So who are the other two teams you're eliminating?
Well, who are the two teams that are directly above them? I don't have the list in front of me.
Well, you're going to eliminate a team that's going to say, you eliminate us, but they're in. I mean, that's once you get past those two, then you get into real sticky.
You would eliminate, I believe, Arizona and the Rangers. Arizona and the Rangers would be the two.
Yeah,
I think they
the
would
Rangers
be
would have certainly, you know, the Rangers certainly, in terms of market impact, would have been a hit to the league's ratings if New York wasn't in the tournament. But you know, you look at these qualifying series. There are some intriguing matchups. You know, the one thing that is going to be interesting for me is what they ultimately decide, whether it's going to be a bracketed tournament or if they reseed. Because I think that if you're looking to give the top team some sort of advantage in this tournament, because there is no quote-unquote home ice advantage, because they're all going to be playing in one hub city, there are going to be no fans. You know, the only really home ice advantage you have from a tactical standpoint is last change, which is important. But if you're trying to reward those teams at the top, you know, St. Louis, Boston, Vegas, Dallas, Tampa, Washington, I think you should allow them to play the lowest remaining seed. You know, if Boston ends up being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, they should play the lowest remaining seed after the qualifying tournament. They should not just play whichever, you know, 8 versus 9. You know, if 11 advances and they're the lowest possible seed, Boston should be playing whoever 11 is in the Eastern Conference. So I'm curious to see what the league decides to do there.
Yeah, let's get to that because there were a couple things that they did not announce yesterday because they clearly haven't decided yet. I can understand one of them. They have said the first two rounds, in addition, well, I shouldn't say in addition, the first qualifying round, in other words, Nashville versus Arizona, that round, that's 3 out of 5 we know. The first two rounds of the playoffs, as we know them, they have not decided whether it would be 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7. I'm guessing that's just based on timelines, depending on when they can get started. So that makes sense. What they haven't agreed on, though, is that, I think you just referenced it, Adam, the reseeding. Should there be a reseeding after the qualifying round? In other words, should the number one seed, let's say it's the Blues, should they get to play the lowest seed that wins? In other words, if the Blackhawks win, should they automatically play the one seed, or should you just bracket the teams? And you guys know, Darren, how much we've had fun filling out brackets, right? That's part of marketing, right? It gives people a chance to try to fill out the perfect bracket, and you can run a lot of contests that way. I think the league wants that. I heard Elliot talking about that on NHL Network, that they would like to have brackets, but the players and the teams think it's more fair to reseed after the qualifying round. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, they definitely seem hell-bent on the bracket. We've had this discussion many times over the years, right? They definitely seem hell-bent on having kind of that March Madness bracket. You're right. And not reseeding because they want people to fill it out, you know, at the beginning of the playoffs. And so I don't know one way or the other. Willie, we've had both systems, and before everybody, people bellyached about the old system, and then you get this new system, and then people bellyache about it, and then they want it the old way, reseeding. I mean, they used to do that, and people complain. Now they're, yeah. I just
no
think
one's happy.
It's part of it. There's always going to be people complain about the system that you have in place. It's just part of it.
Right.
It's never going to be perfect.
And also, I guess they would have to determine, do you reseed after every round, which is what they used to do. So I think we have Adam back now. Adam, what do you think is going to happen? What's the better plan on that?
I mean, I like reseeding, as I was talking about. You know, I will admit that I know that when the Stanley Cup playoffs start, the NHL, you know, tweets out a graphic of the bracket. I have never once filled out an NHL Stanley Cup playoff bracket. So I don't think that's something that's necessarily important to hockey fans. I believe it's the general managers who would like the bracketed version, or the owners that would like the bracketed version. The team side wants the bracketed version. The players want the reseeding. I agree with the players on this one. I think reseeding is most fair for, in terms of the teams that finished in the top of their conferences. I think, you know, if, you know, I think one should have to play the lowest remaining seed versus, you know, having to play 8 versus 9 while another team plays 10 or 11. I don't think that's fair. So I like the idea of reseeding. But to your point, Willie, it's interesting if they were to reseed after every round or just after the qualifying round to make the initial bracket. So I'm on team reseed. Let's put it that way.
Before I turn it over to Chase, a thought, and I'm sure let's mark this down as the first question of 2 months of lead-up to this series between the Coyotes and the Predators. I mean, think about the scouting and how well these two teams are going to know each other by the time the series actually starts. The build-up is going to be incredible. We're going to be talking about this for a couple of months. But it really is a crapshoot, isn't it? Even though on paper you're saying, okay, that's actually not a bad draw for the Predators. But even though the Coyotes were kind of sagging before the break, they had played really, really well during certain points of the season. You would have, if you picked a certain date on the calendar, you would have said, wow, the Coyotes are on their way to a great season and the Predators are going nowhere right now. It's just where, what point in time do you want to take a look at it? But with this restart and basically 3 or 4 months of nothing, I mean, you can say this about all the series. It's a total flip of the coin, isn't it?
I feel like we are experiencing what college football experiences when they announce the bowl games. We're going to be talking about the Arizona Coyotes for the next 3 months. Like, that's all we're going to do. We're just going to preview Predators Coyotes from now until August. But All of these best of five series, I feel like, are coin flips. And that may be part of the fun for the viewer. But when I look at the Coyotes specifically, you're right, Willie, they were not playing as well down the stretch as they were at earlier portions of the season. They're an intriguing team. Of course, they traded for Phil Kessel. They traded for Taylor Hall, who wasn't spectacular for them, but they've got a lot of really great young talent on that team, Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Clayton Keller, among others. You know, the interesting thing to me, and Willie, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but at various points in the season, Darcy Kuemper was looking like a Vezina Trophy goalie. He was playing incredibly well. I believe he got injured and missed a significant portion of time, which may have coincided with their slide. But we know, especially in smaller series, shorter series, five-game series, that a goaltender can change everything. I mean, it happens in seven-game series as well, but especially in a five-game series, if Darcy Kuemper is healthy and plays as he was playing before he was injured and before the pause, he could absolutely steal a series against the Predators. All he needs is to win three games. So certainly the Coyotes are an interesting opponent. The most important thing for the Predators, though, is that there are no games in Arizona where they were winless in six of their past seven, and therefore no unauthorized excursions to Scottsdale in the middle of the night.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Well put, well put. That place has been a very mystifying place to play for the Predators, no question.
We had to go back down that rabbit hole, huh?
Okay. Somebody was going to bring it up. You knew it was going to
come
up at
some
point.
You were all thinking it. I just chose to say
it. I've deleted it, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
Delete. Adam Vingan of The Athletic is here with us, and I do need to start my portion off by praising you. Very, 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 very good use of the word newfangled. I'm really glad you used that in your article. So that I was very impressed. That was really the biggest thing that stood out to me. But
thank you for reading the whole story and not just the subhead.
Yeah, exactly. I did. But another thing, not only are we going to spend 2 months talking about the Coyotes, but I looking through some of the other things, and I saw Elliot Friedman put out too that they're going to have a couple of exhibition games. I wonder if that's enough, especially if you're a team like the Predators. We assume UC Saros will be the guy, but what does this layoff do for somebody like Pecorine? I mean, how much is that going to come up of, okay, maybe Pecorine has been, had a little bit of a break, and we could get the Pecorine that we've known from the past. So how do you think that factors in when you're looking at strategy for the Predators?
There are three players, Chase, that come to mind to me who would most benefit from a return to play and the layoff that we were currently experiencing. Pecorine is number one. And that is a good question. I mean, UC Saros started 15 of the Predators' final 21 games before the season was paused, and he was playing exceptionally well. So do you go back to him? Or is it like training camp in September and, you have whoever performs the best starts in net? I mean, Pecorine has started every single one of the Predators' playoff games since 2010. So the idea of him not starting is a big deal. But UC Saros deserves the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion, if the team could come back. The other two players that stand out to me who could benefit the most from this are Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. Ryan Johansson from a mental standpoint and Victor Arvidsson from a health standpoint, a physical standpoint. I mean, Ryan Johansson had 36 points during the regular season, which is over now, by the way. 36 points, an $8 million player with 36 points. According to our friends that Willie and I like to talk to at Evolving Hockey, Ryan Johansson was a below replacement level player this year. That's unflattering for a player of his salary. So perhaps, this break will be good for him to hit that restart button. I know Joe Rexroad talked to him a couple weeks ago about that. You can read about that on The Athletic. And Victor Arvidsson, I think, is the player that would most benefit from a health standpoint. He was clearly not himself. Willie and I have discussed this many times. He was much less threatening off the rush this season. I have the stats from SportLogic to back it up. I wrote about that, I believe, in February. If he can get back on his game and play that speed game we know he has, that would help the Predators tremendously. So those are the three players I think.
It's noticeable, Adam, as you mentioned that, Watching these Golden Classics from 2017,
yeah,
it really is eye-popping how much quicker Victor Arvidsson is in those games and how much more he's able to go into those really tough areas in front of the net, take a beating, take a hit into the boards, pop right back up. I do think the wear and tear on him this season was definitely showing. The Bortuzzo hit, all of that stuff. I think he was showing signs of coming back, but I agree with you 100% on him. I think it's more mental with Johansson, but the physical rest, I think, is a great point with Arvidsson.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you also that I feel like he was starting to find that missing gear right before the season came to a halt. But you know, as we talked about a couple of months ago, I mean, Victor Arvidsson was arguably the most dangerous NHL player off the rush last season. And he just was not producing off of those chances anywhere near. It's not even the fact that he wasn't scoring off those chances. He wasn't even creating them. It would be one thing if he were creating them and having poor shooting luck. He wasn't even generating chances off the rush. And I think from a physical standpoint, he will be the player that will most benefit from this pause.
So if the regular season is over, like Gary Bettman has said, is Roman Josi the Norris Trophy winner?
He needs to be. I mean, we've talked about this at length, and I tweeted about it last night. I don't consider myself a homer in any way, shape, or form, but my homerific take last night was, now that the regular season is over, Roman Josi absolutely deserves the Norris Trophy. And I think, and Willie and I remember having a conversation about this in Toronto before the season paused, you know, I think people were starting to finally come around on Roman.
That might have been our last true hockey conversation, Adam, before,
yes,
before everything hit. We were talking all these things. We were in Toronto. We were thinking, hey, this is a great time to have this discussion. We're around a lot of the national writers. They're going to be there. You know, what is the discussion need to be? What's the narrative here? And then all of a sudden, yeah, the world changed.
Right. And I think Roman Josi might be hurt in his Norris Trophy chase by the fact that there wasn't a continuation of the season, because I think the way that things were trending, he was starting to overtake John Carlson as the favorite for the Norris Trophy. Now, he ended up with he had a fabulous season. He had 65 points. All of the underlying numbers are there. I think people will finally give Roman Josi his due, but I do think it would have helped if there was no pandemic and he could have carried the Predators into the playoffs. I think that would have clinched it for him.
Hey, as we wrap this up, I do want to say I'm so happy for you that you have been able to combine two of your favorite things. You have an article involving The Simpsons and then wrestling, and professional, yes, athletes making wrestling cameos, both very well done. And I just could feel the joy coming out of the computer when I was reading it, because I know how excited you were to be able to write these.
Having written a lot of history and English papers where you know, the time was ticking and I had procrastinated and I wasn't that interested in the subject to begin with in college, I can appreciate the writing with joy concept. It's much easier to write, yes, when you have joy.
Yes, it is much easier to do lots of things when you have joy. And it's our sports, it's our sports and TV week at The Athletic. So, you know, my original pitch was to do the story, which is up today, on the best athlete cameos in professional wrestling, which touches on Dennis Rodman, Karl Malone, Rob Gronkowski, Pac-Man Jones, etc. But I was chosen to write the Simpsons story. It was, so, you know, perhaps that means that I am the biggest Simpsons fan on staff. So it was a great honor to be chosen to do that.
Well, hopefully we'll be thrilled in 2 months when we can actually talk about games resuming. Should be interesting.
All right.
Thanks for the visit, as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Adam Vindgen from The Athletic. That's where you can find his work. We will come back and close up shop for hour number one on this rainy Wednesday. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We will talk to Heather Denich coming up to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. Of course, we'll talk a little college football. What is their plan? Right now, I saw UT. They put out their fall schedule, fall semester schedule, which does not include a fall break. Looks like they are going to try to wrap things up early, right around Thanksgiving, and they're going to call it a semester. So I wonder if that is the direction of everybody else around the country to try to avoid the colder months, I guess. So We'll get into everything, all the particulars around college football with Heather Denich coming up at 11 o'clock. So, you know, I think we all thought that the 20 team was the best solution, but I just keep coming back to, okay, so who do you leave out? And I know under this format, it's pretty simple. It's the Blackhawks and the Coyotes in the West, and over in the East, it's the Canadiens and the Rangers. And I just, the only reason I bring that up is because it goes back to, I think the three are pretty easy. I don't think you get any pushback about Arizona. I think you get pushback on the Rangers because the Rangers could turn around and say, so you've got Minnesota in, and we had two more points than them, and our conference is better than their conference, is harder. The Eastern Conference was much stiffer competition. And, oh, by the way, the Panthers are in, and we're out, and we had more points than them. So I just think you don't want to get into that nightmare. You're just – you're giving – you're giving a big fan base in the number one market in the U.S. an opportunity to really, you know, when you should be thinking about other things. One, it should be almost a celebration that, you know, hey, they've got a plan. They're coming back. Instead, you would get all that. So I just think in the end it just came down to probably that fourth team was too much of a sticking point, and they didn't want the blowback and just said, let's just make it 24 and be done with it.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a lot of it in, I mean, who's kidding who? The Rangers, Canadians, and Blackhawks, the eyeballs you get from there was a lot of incentive, probably the number one incentive to get them in because of that. But be prepared. I mean, let's take the Florida Panthers, who you just mentioned. Sergei Bobrovsky had a nightmare season, right? He was awful. He was one of the worst goalies in the league statistically. But could he? What if he found his groove in this 3 out of 5? Then they could be a huge threat. I think with Joel Quenneville coaching, I mean, wow, what about that? And then
I think
Columbus,
that's exciting, though.
Well, it is exciting, but you just wonder. You know, you can understand why a team would say, "Man, we gotta beat the Panthers." Jeez, I mean, we wouldn't. It's hard enough to win the Stanley Cup as it is. But now we have to beat the Panthers in the 3 out of 5 just to get to the playoffs. But it is going to be very compelling. I'm okay with it. You know, I think I would have maybe tried to go a little deeper. I've read some really interesting articles on some things you could have done. For example, you could have slid the degree of difficulty in the play-in round a little bit in favor of the team that had a bigger edge in the regular season, depending on what that edge was. Like, for example, the Blackhawks – playing against, who are they playing? Who's the 5 seed? I'm trying to remember. Well, let's take the Canadiens against the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? The Penguins were clearly a much better team. So maybe instead of 3 out of 5.
Have what, Edmonton?
Edmonton, yeah.
Edmonton, yeah. There's another good example. I mean, you can certainly 12. Envision, you could envision the Blackhawks winning a 3 out of 5 against Edmonton. No question about it. But
I could also envision maybe, them losing quickly.
That's true too, but and that's why you play games, right? That's what everybody is saying. Hey, listen, if you want to win, you need to be able to beat a team like the Blackhawks.
Well, you play to win the game. That's what Herm told everybody.
What would you guys what you guys thought if they said, well, the Blackhawks to win because they had such a disadvantage? I mean, they were so lower in the standings. They should have to beat Edmonton 4 out of 5, and not 3 out of 5, to advance because they had such a disadvantage. In your mind, it was reward Edmonton for being so superior. They would have been in the playoffs. They could have. They were in the playoffs, but they still have to play in this play-in round. So should their in your mind reward into the round of 16 because they earned that during the regular season. That's the argument that's being made.
So, yeah, Willie, you may need to reconnect. Sounds like you're having some Wi-Fi issues. Maybe it's raining in East Nashville. I don't know. Maybe you're getting
it's
some bad storms.
It's raining in West Nashville.
Yeah, it's raining.
I can't confirm that.
Yeah, look, it doesn't matter. It's 24 now. I just simply wanted to bring that up. That's just simply what I think is why they did it is, look, there was never going to be – it's going back to the same thing again, right? There was never going to be a perfect system. There was never going to be anything that they laid out there where everybody's like, yes, 100% everyone agrees. One, that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, because so, you have people that'll just get on Twitter and be like, I'm going to complain no matter what because that's what I do. So, you're going to have that. I will say, though, the whole notion of having the bigger markets as a part of this, you can think what you want about that, of, okay, does Chicago deserve to be in, the Rangers, all of that. Eyeball tests is important. And having new eyeballs on your sport, like we've talked about with NASCAR, I think is huge for the NHL. And they potentially have that opportunity. Now, we still don't know what baseball is going to do. We don't know what the NBA is going to do. But they could have an opportunity of getting new fans on their sport, and they're going to be, you know, appealing to one of the largest Canadian markets in Montreal, New York here in the States, Chicago. So I totally get that. I totally understand. But as you're saying, Darren, you're never going to make everybody happy, and the NHL knows that. And I think the thought process was pretty quick with that. Like, yep, there are going to be some people that complain about it. Whatever, we move on.
Yeah. Should the Blackhawks and the Canadians have to win 4 out of 5 instead of 3 out of 5?
No.
Because there was such a wide gap?
Nope. This is the system that they have in place. It's what it is. Do you do that? Do you do that in other sports? Do you make a lesser team that gets in do more work to advance than the other team? Have you ever seen that in any other sport?
Nope.
No. So why would that happen here?
Well, it depends. It depends on whether you're considering this 3 out of 5 qualifying round the actual playoffs. And I guess they are. And so if they are, then
I
agree with you. I'm throwing something that up like that for a discussion.
I thought
what we're
talking about, the qualifying rounds don't count.
Vegas says it doesn't count. That's it, and that's important. But you know, Vegas is like, if you placed a bet on Chicago to make the playoffs, they're not going to say that you won that bet, because unless they win in the qualifying round, is how I understand it.
Correct. But the regular season is over. So what are these games?
They're basically play-in games.
A playoff. That's a playoff.
Right, but that's where there is some gray area that the NHL is going to have to clear up. Because if they're saying the regular season is over, yet they're saying the playoffs don't begin until after the qualifying round, then there needs to be more of a definition. And I do think that's important, and not just for betting purposes, even though, you know, that's definitely coming into play. But I just think for all of us, they need to clarify it of, okay, the qualifying round. And this is something that Greg Wyshynski brought up this morning, that the PA has a concern about, because they're saying that if the NHL is saying the regular season is over and they're handing out awards, you know, some members of the PA are saying, now hold on a second. If, you know, why wouldn't stats count towards those awards in the qualifying round and the round robin? But that's something that they're going to have to clear up.
Are you saying you want those games to count? Is that what you're saying? Like regular season, you want those stats to count?
They
said the regular season is over, so I don't know what the discussion is. These are playoff games. If they're not going to be regular season games, then what else could there be? There's not a third category.
Yeah, I think they should just be playoff games. If when Gary Bettman said the regular season has concluded, then the regular season has concluded. So, you know, I understand the gray area from a Vegas point of view, from a betting point of view. Okay, if you placed a bet, you know, at the beginning of the season on Chicago making the playoffs, they weren't going to make the playoffs under the real format, you know, that we're used to. So I get that gripe. But from a stat standpoint, yeah, I think the regular season's done, because how are you going to say that the qualifying round or the round robin counts towards stats when you're taking some teams out of it, and there are players on those teams that they don't – I mean, they just get zeros?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I look at it.
Let's quickly go to Tristan, then we need to get to Heather Denich for the second hour. Tristan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm definitely – just like you're saying, Darren, somebody's going to have a problem with this regardless. And the thing was, everybody was expecting that. I think the thing that I'm deprived of, and I think maybe Alberta is in particular, was how close we were to a first round Battle of Alberta Battle of Alberta round, and then that's just completely taken away. And I'm saddened for it. But overall, I think the look of this 2014 is going to go off very, very well, especially with new eyes. in particular, my friend who isn't a NASCAR fan has suddenly all of a sudden become a NASCAR fan and totally understands why Kyle Busch is awful. But moving forward, the biggest thing was when it came to cities, I could have sworn Nashville and Raleigh were going to be on that list, but to see both of them omitted was definitely surprising. Nashville extremely, Raleigh not so much. When I think about, there is nothing around that arena. There's not a hotel within, I think, about 5 miles. So overall, I'm excited for this play-in. It's fun to talk about. I'm excited for the Preds to go up against the Coyotes. It'll be really, really interesting. And then the reseeding after the 1-4 teams play is going to be really, really interesting to see. So overall, I'm excited that we can actually start looking forward to a cup winner being awarded and not having an asterisk on the cup this year.
Yep. Thank you, Tristan, as always. Appreciate it. We will certainly continue to talk about this throughout the course of today and beyond. But when we come back, Heather Dennis will start the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.